97.5, The Fanatic.
We can officially say it is afternoon on Sunday of the big game. Big game won't happen for a number of hours still to come. I hope you're going to spend it getting ready for it with friends and family. We can talk about the big game. It doesn't involve your team, so I am curious, when your team is not involved, what is it that you find appealing, attention-grabbing, entertaining? I, for one, I used to hate I felt like there was a time period where the Super Bowls were blowouts, and I hated that. And then there were like really close games, and even if it wasn't your team, that was super cool, right? So I do like just a close game in the big game, and I have enjoyed listening to Andy Reid throughout this week. I find it refreshing to see somebody who looks comfortable enjoying the biggest moment. And I think that life and experiencing life allows you to be in that moment the way I think he appeared throughout this week. And you can't force that. You can't make that happen. It's just experience. He's closer to retirement than he is to having to have this job. So there is a part of me that will definitely be pulling for Big Red, though I do think the 49ers are going to win that game. That's a gut thing more than an X and O thing. So we shall see. But as many of you would anticipate, I am curious to have your thoughts on what went down last night in Boston. The Sixers lost 116-95. They had an opportunity to sweep the season series with the Celtics. I didn't really think that was the most important part of that. I thought the most important part was to establish some kind of road presence because time is winding down in that regard. And they are now 9-17 on the road. The five teams ahead of them in the East, because they remain as the sixth seed, all have significantly better road records than they do. And nine teams in the Western Conference have better road records than they do. And so if we want to keep saying they are a potential Eastern Conference champion, I don't think you can say that in this moment. I really don't.
For Pete's sakes.
For Pete's sakes is right. Actually, I wasn't going to play this as soon as I am, but Nat, I really do. I think it's important to acknowledge that Brett Brown, and last night, because it was a national televised game, there wasn't a post game on NBC Sports Philadelphia, so I didn't have the opportunity to hear like we normally do. But this is what Brett Brown had to say after the game. And knowing his team remains in the sixth seed, and now you have 32 games to play.
If you said what's more important, like you looking at the standings and really studying that versus, do you just feel like you're playing good basketball? You know, do you feel like there's a semblance of order to what you're trying to do defensively and what you're trying to do offensively? When I feel good about that, and I don't, you know, at times I really do, but right now, you know, we're not equipped to go into the playoffs like we need to be equipped to go into the playoffs. And that's what I think about more than the standings.
And that is as honest an answer that you could ever ask for. He doesn't feel that they are equipped to go into the playoffs, and they aren't. They are not. We can go through the box score. I had a conversation this morning with my father, and he said if you covered the Sixers part of the box score and you just looked at the Celtics, you would say that was not a winning box score. Jaylen Brown was 1 of 10 from three, and you can go on down the line. And he, but as I say, but you then uncover the other part. And whether it's the Embiid being one of 11. Ben gets his numbers. Ben, there, I saw multiple times Furkan bringing the ball up the floor. So clearly you're taking the ball out of Ben's hands. So acknowledge that you're doing that and not playing him as your, quote, point guard. But the cohesiveness of him having a good game and Embiid having a good game together seems to me, I help me remember, like, when was the last time the two had good games together? And I just don't feel, I feel like Brett, they're not equipped to go into the playoffs the way they are right now. And I'm not sure. I think eventually what will happen, and I feel bad saying this, that a new person, not through this year, they're going to go into the postseason and we'll see what happens. But somebody else will have their opportunity to coach this group as constructed. And when I say as constructed, the trade deadline obviously is this Thursday. And I was kind of just asking around the league people. Everybody knows they don't have a lot to offer. So one of two things is going to happen. They're going to offer up their reserves and a draft pick here or there and try to make a small move. Or they could package, and I know he's on the shelf right now, but the one piece they can offer is Josh Richardson, because his contract is such and his talent is such that if you are trying to bolster this team in a way that will help its deficiencies, then that's the one piece that you could offer to somebody that is really appealing from a contract standpoint, talent standpoint, a two-way guy. So it's going to be one or the other. You be bold, you put Richardson in a deal. You want to do something small, you'll find somebody who gives you a guy that maybe we know, maybe we don't, and you think he gives you something off of your bench more than what you're getting right now. That's how I see it. But I did find watching last night very disheartening. And this team is so far from being top in their conference. And Embiid, for me, I'll take your opinions, because if he's hurt, then they should say he's hurt, meaning he can't play the way he can play because of his hand. The only thing I will say, we thought his hand was a problem in the previous game because he went 2 of 7 at the foul line. He goes 9 of 9 at the foul line last night, but can't make a bucket. And again, his body language says he's just either frustrated, annoyed, or disinterested. One of the three, maybe all three. I have no idea. But I am interested in knowing what you think. 610-632-0975. I am D-Line. I am with you until 4 o'clock. It is the day of the big game. I think I'm allowed to say Super Bowl. Maybe you can't say it in advertisements, but I'm just like talking about today. And today is Super Bowl Sunday. And it is the Chiefs and the 49ers. It's Andy Reid. It's Big Red. We can talk about that as well. And I did say to Devon last night, because he and I had a on-location pregame show, I think it is the day that I eat the most food. I might eat more food on Super Bowl Sunday than I do on Thanksgiving, because I feel like I don't eat leading up to the Thanksgiving meal. But when I leave here, I will eat nitpick the whole night. The whole night. It's terrible. And then I feel terrible the next day.
You know what I mean? I'm happy.
It's true. All right, let's kick things off with Dave in Center City. Dave, how's it going? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Yo, Dave. Happy Super Sunday.
Yes, Super Sunday. All right, we can call it that.
Hey, before I touch on the Super Bowl,
yes.
I'm mystified. how our two indoor teams, Sixers and Flyers.
I saw a fight in that Flyers game last night.
How about that?
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought that was
I'm not supposed
stuff.
To love the fighting, but I can tell people were fired up.
Yeah, it's amazing. Both these clubs are unstoppable at home.
Yep.
Sixers, two losses, best in the league.
Flyers, yep.
Four losses, tied for second best in the NHL.
Yeah, they can't win on the road.
No, Joel looked like Charles Shackelford last night, one of Charles Barkley's favorite players.
Yes.
Quote, unquote. And then the Flyers turn into the old California Golden Seals on the road. It's amazing. I would not push the panic button on the Sixers. Last night was a clunker in every sense of the word. The problem is we're starting to see too many of these clunkers. Hopefully.
Well, you preface that by saying don't push the panic button. What is considered the panic button?
Well, you touched on some serious deficiencies in Joel last night. Let's hope that's just an exception, not the norm. You know, that was not good to see last night. And I'll chalk it off to it's a clunker. And they're a Jekyll and Hyde team, home and road. Or am I sugarcoating this?
No, well, clearly you can look at the two records and know they're not the same home and away. That's just math. You know, if you have only two losses at home and you have 17 on the road, you're not doing the same things or you're not accomplishing the same things. In terms of Joel, you know, he had the game in Toronto where he couldn't score a field goal. He goes 1 of 11 against Boston. And Tease is who was guarding him majority of the night. And he talks about being a dominant player in this league. And we have seen dominance. But I will tell you that I don't feel comfortable that he is capable of looking not dominant in a very, like, swing it so far to the other side. And that's what he looked like last night to me. And I question what is going on. Like, if you want to be great, and we have spent the last week talking about a player who was motivated by greatness, to be great, he got up at 5:45 every day to go and shoot. He got in a gym every day. He battled through injury every day. So when you talk about being great, show me what you're talking about.
Good point. Well, when the playoffs start, I believe that we will see the Wilt Chamberlain / Elijah Wan.
No, I don't. I don't think you can turn it on like that, Dave. I don't.
Okay. Hey, Dave, can I get to the Super Bowl?
Sure.
It's no secret I'm not a fan of Andy Reid in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
But I need him to prove my point today. Okay. And for the past three seasons, I've been preaching to the choir how overvalued the NFC is and how the Eagles, with one Super Bowl in the bank, if they had some health the last 2 years, who knows how many more they would have won. And still, with their fourth stringers, they were still knocking on the door. So, Dave, I need
you need Kansas, you need Chiefs. Andy to win so you can prove your point about the NFC?
I believe the 49ers are the NFC's version of the Tennessee Titans. And I believe by far the AFC is the superior league. And I think the people of Kansas City, 50 years have waited.
Yeah.
They deserve this.
Yeah, I agree with that. So it's similar to in the NBA, I say there's an ebb and flow. The Western Conference has been superior to the East for a while now.
Yeah.
We agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So eventually, you know, it seems like it takes a long time, but eventually I do think it flips and the other side comes up to the, you know, up and superior to the other.
Yeah, and we've seen that in our...
It's just taken a long... Well, and I would agree with you. I think the AFC is better. I do.
Yeah, and I came up with a pattern. St. Louis Blues win the Cup. Their people waited 52 years. Kansas City Chiefs are in the precipice, okay, of winning a Lombardi Trophy. They've waited 51 years. Jeez. Let's hope the Milwaukee Bucks, whose fans have waited 50 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Can you imagine? And that would all be in, let's see, no, the Blues would have been last year. So it won't be in the same calendar year, but
correct.
In succession, yes.
Correct.
Dave, good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, you take care.
Have a great day. Enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, wow. In succession, that would be 50 plus for three franchises. That'd be, I wonder if you could have bet on that at some point, probably after St. Louis won, probably not before that, but after, then like if you picked KC and the Bucks, that would have had to be out there somehow. All right, let's check in with Josh in Pottstown. Josh, what's going on? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, I'm going to press the panic button on the Sixers, and I'm not just going to do it for this season, but I'm looking long-term as well. If you look at the assets, like you said, with this team doesn't really have any. Elton Brand essentially traded all the assets for the rights to sign Tobias Harris a max contract. Then he gave Al Horford that contract. And the whole NBA knows that this team needs three-point shooting. So what are they going to want? They're going to want Josh Richardson or Thybul. I'm not trading Thybul.
Well, I don't believe that Elton will trade Thybul either.
Okay.
I think as a general manager that when you gave up Landry Shamet, which is fine.
Sure.
You know, you did it for what you accomplished, meaning getting the rights to a Tobias, who I think was knocking on the door of being an all-star this year, quite frankly. I think he's been their most consistent player.
Sure.
But you can't give up your... When you have selected well, deep in the draft, 2 years in a row, you're not giving up the second time.
Okay, correct. So moving forward at the deadline, I don't see them making a splash. Therefore, we're going to be where we are. But if I was Elton Brand, I would look to move Al Horford. And I tell you, and I know the contract is all but unmovable, but there's about three players in the NBA that you could possibly get because of the money. One of them's Kevin Love. One of them's Mike Connolly out in Utah. And the other's Chris Paul. Is there any way that you would make that a move like that? You'd probably have to attach picks. With what would you do a deal like that? Do you think that would help them?
Well, without having all of those guys in front of me, I don't know the length of.
I think Paul's got 3 years, Love's got four, and Connolly has two.
All right, so I don't want Love.
Okay.
In fairness, I'm sorry.
Okay.
4 years is too many for me. Though, in fairness to him, since the departure of LeBron, he's in a no-win situation.
Okay.
And he's unhappy, and we know that. But he also, before that, injury was a little bit of part of his history for me. So, Love, I say no to Love.
Okay.
Connolly or Chris Paul, I'll tell you why I'm intrigued by either one. And again, I'd have to look at the years and the number.
Sure.
Because I'd like the team or the organization to admit that we are willing to not play Ben as the point guard. And they're taking the ball out of his hands more and more, in my opinion. And
I agree. I've noticed
that. And he's very successful at it. Right? I mean, last night he's 9 of 14. But Furkan was bringing up the ball. Shake Milton's bringing up the ball. You know, let's just acknowledge that you're trying to use him differently. And if you are willing to do that, then going out and getting a legitimate high-level point guard, to me, seems like a no-brainer.
I completely agree. And one quick question.
Yes.
Why is Trey Burke sitting on the bench constantly? Like, is there something that you see he's not doing?
No, this is, and I always say to people, I don't have a preference one way or the other.
Sure.
It's him or Neto, right,
okay.
On any given day. And,
I agree.
And he's not going to go when he chooses. So he had a slot of time. I'm going to say 5 games, maybe. It was Trey. And definitely, I'll have to go and look. I'm going to say at least 6 games he's gone all Neto.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, in the time that I've seen Neto at the backup point, he runs pick and roll with Ben pretty well.
I agree. No, I agree.
Right? So he uses Ben as a screener, and Neto finds him. Now, I'm not saying Trey can't do that, but my initial impressions of Trey is he's very good at finding his own shot.
No, you make a great point. And one more quick question, Dave, before
yes.
I hang up and let you go.
No problem.
And if the team doesn't succeed in the playoffs this season, which, you know, as constructed, we know
that isn't going to happen.
They're not,
yep.
Correct. This off season, yep. Would you look to move either Embiid or Ben and pack it and surround that player with the correct assets moving forward? Like all the good NBA teams, they build around one guy. They surround that player. I'm keeping Ben, and I'm looking to move Embiid. I'd like to hear your thoughts. And Dee, have a great day.
Josh, you have a great day, too.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
The phone call. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't feel comfortable because I like the person so much, and I think he's a very good coach. But before I move one of those two guys, if I am not successful in this postseason, I have to, as an organization, give somebody else the opportunity to make those two work together before I move on from one of them, because I think they are such elite talents. And they may not be able to ever be the best together. But I have to, as a person who invested and drafted them, and see the all-star talent that the world sees in both of them, I have to give somebody else that opportunity to see if they can do it differently. And before I traded one of them, that's what I personally would do. 610-632-0975. We're coming back to the phones. Tony, Bill, Q, Will, and we have a couple open lines. We'll talk Sixers. If you have a great Super Bowl Sunday plan, I'm open to it. I'll share mine. Because I do love Super Bowl Sunday. It's like Thanksgiving, Super Bowl Sunday, and then Christmas. Christmas has like a little bit of, you know, you got to get gifts and stuff for people. I don't know. It's a little pressure. No pressure to Super Bowl Sunday, especially when your team's not in it. I am Dee Lynam. I will be with you until 4 o'clock. Nat is behind the glass. Can't wait for you to call him. And we'll come back and take your calls on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! If you said what's more important, like you looking at the standings and really studying that versus, do you just feel like you're playing good basketball? You know, do you feel like there's a semblance of order to what you're trying to do defensively and what you're trying to do offensively? When I feel good about that, and I don't. You know, at times I really do, but right now, you know, we're not equipped to go into the playoffs like we need to be equipped to go into the playoffs. And that's what I think about more than the standings.
Nonetheless, if you do look at the standings, the Philadelphia 76ers, they feel like they've been solidified in this spot for a really long time, and they are the 6th seed. So not only are you not 1 or 2 where you believed you would be, but you wouldn't even have home court advantage to start this series. And if you started a series today, you would play the team that beat you last night handily. I mean, they forced you into seven turns in the blink of an eye. They held your big man to 1 of 11 from the floor. They were playing without Kemba Walker. You were playing without Josh Richardson. But at the end of the day, I think Boston would say, okay, we lost the season series 3-1. But honestly, we feel okay about playing you guys if we have to. They feel okay. Philadelphia 76ers have 32 games left to get it right. I'm not sure that they can really get it right on the road. They are 9-17. Under Brett Brown, they have never had a winning road record. And to me, if you're going to win and go deep in the spring, you have to be able to beat people on the road. And I don't think it is a switch that you can turn on. If you are just perennial bad on the road, how do you think you can change that just because it now becomes more important? I don't see it. I don't understand it. And to me, I would have to, as a group, I would need to identify why are we 9-17 on the road? We are supposed to be a team that is contending for a championship. Anyhow, many, many issues with last night's game. And Embiid is one. Simmons plays well. The two, to me, I'm asking, help me remember when the both of them were great in the same game. Because I feel like one is always like lesser than the other or doesn't look like he's at his best. Maybe the numbers are okay, right? For instance, they had good numbers, I think, in the Warriors game the other night. I throw that one out because there were so many other factors. Embiid was coming back from injury, the whole emotional night of the Kobe tribute. The Warriors, not a great team per se right now. So I kind of throw that one to the wayside. But I think that as a group, they need to acknowledge. So they're going to go into Miami, who only has 3 losses in their building. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They're ahead of you in the standings. Jimmy Butler always wants to get the better of you. And that's their next task at hand, which is tomorrow night. 610-632-0975. What do you make of the Sixers currently? What do you think will happen with the trade deadline? And it's Super Bowl Sunday. So I'll go to the phones and then I'll share with you. I've only attended one Super Bowl in my life. I'll share that memory with you down the road. And it wasn't one that the Eagles were in. All right, let's go to Tony in Glenside. Tony, thank you for calling the Fanatic.
How you doing, D?
I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
I'm glad it's Super Sunday.
Super Sunday.
It's good. Andy's in. I mean, I'm rooting for him. Now, can I address all 3 things? Super Sunday.
You can do it all, my friend.
Okay. Let's start with Super Sunday.
Okay.
I think Kansas City will win.
You do?
31-35.
All right.
And
I think I didn't look today, but yesterday the over-under was 55, so you're taking the over.
Yes. And also, Kansas City will be losing all the way up to the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes left.
Oh, my.
So
you're saying Patrick Mahomes is going to be like a superhero at the end?
Well, he's going to win it and going to leave Jimmy Garoppolo about 2.5 to 3 minutes left where that run game can't work no more because the run game is going to keep him in that game.
Right, but you're saying that they were ahead, so why are they going to have to go to air attack they're ahead?
Because they're going to be ahead by the points. And then 5 minutes left, Mahomes is going to be Magic Man. He's going to score. They're going to go up 31-35.
Okay.
And leave about 3 minutes left, 2.5 minutes left for Jimmy. And what was plaguing the Kansas City keys was the run game. But 2 minutes left.
You got to go to the air. Yep.
Exactly. And Jimmy going bust.
And he's not going to be able to get a touchdown, exactly. And it's going to finish 35-31.
Exactly.
All right. I like exactly. it, Tony. I'm going to remember, when I'm writing it down, actually, because when mm-hmm. I watch, I want to remember the 35-31 and that scenario.
Exactly. But I like Andy. I'm really pulling for him. I used to work down at Children's Hospital, and I seen Andy do big things down there. He used to come down there all the time.
Yep.
Him and his big bodyguard guy, the guy used to be down there with him. And he loved the kids, man. He really did. He used to do a lot of things that people don't know, that Andy used to come down there and really devote his time to the kids. But let's get to the Sixers.
All right.
My thing is, it's Brett Brown's offense. It's his whole structure of the offense. The reason why Ben, he gets off, but then Joel don't. But then Joel gets off, and then Ben don't. It's the way the offense is constructed, that one of them, it's only one can be in the middle with Brett's offense.
Right. You know? So if you were running the offense, what right. would you do differently? That's the key. We can complain, but if we don't have a solution, then we're no better than him.
That's what I would do offensively, Dave.
Yep.
I would put Joel on the block. Soon as the ball is rebound, Joel's first job is to run to the front of the rim. That's it. Run to the front of the rim. You ever see Joel, first thing he do is start setting picks all the way at the top of the key?
Yep, for no always.
One. Always. Like, no. His first job is to go to the front of the rim. And then the first job of the point guard is to get Joel the ball there first. That's the first option.
Yep.
If it's not there, then you go to the second option, will be set up a play. Put Joel on the block with a shooter on the left side. On the right side, you run pick and roll action with Horford and Tobias. You leave Ben in the middle of the floor. He can go right. He can go left. So now you can dump the ball down to Joel on the block. If they double, he kick it out to the shooter. If not, swing it back around to the point guard, which will be Ben. He swings it back to the other side. Now they can run pick and roll with Tobias. Tobias is a mid-range shooter. That's why people don't think he's as good as he is. But he's really a mid-range shooter.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now you got Horford and Tobias running pick and rolls, pick and pops on the right side, and you got Embiid playing bully ball with a shooter on the opposite side.
On the opposite block.
Yep. That's a play.
Yep. No, I hear you. The only thing so two things I will say about this. You are right that he spends a lot of time out on the perimeter, he being Embiid. And I thought what was interesting in last night's game, that in the second half, they showed a possession and spotlighted where Embiid actually went to the low post, which I wouldn't have noticed because he didn't get the ball, right? And Tease does a good job denying him the ball, and he starts from watching on TV, let's just say the far block. Mm-hmm. So he starts on the far block. Tease is denying him the ball. He now goes to the near block, right? And because the ball had swung, and Tease is still with him. And the person who had the ball, I think it was Furkan, was way beyond the 3-point line. So Tease is giving him, like, you know, decent defense, but you're also too far to even make that pass.
Exactly.
So correct.
So how you attack that is, Steve, you know this, you get the point guard to come straight down the middle.
Of course.
The ball, he comes straight down the middle, and you attack Embiid's man. You attack his man. So now,
it should be a dump off pass for a slam dunk.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
You attack his man because he's overplaying Embiid.
Overplaying Embiid. Yes.
Exactly. So if he's overplaying him, you attack his guy. Now let's address the tree situation.
Yes.
I really don't want to do this because how do a team constructed to play bully ball don't play bully ball? They shoot many threes, just as many threes as a team that's constructed as Golden State. Small ball. I don't understand how if you construct it with 2 7-footers and a 6'10 small forward and a 6'10 point guard, why are you not 2-pointing teams to death?
No, I agree with you, and I appreciate the phone call, Tony, and enjoy Super Sunday. I will say this. They said they wanted to play bully ball. Their actions leading up to the season have always been about shooting the three ball because analytics tell you to do that. And even though they said they wanted to play bully ball, they still want to make threes and think that if they find the open guy, even though they don't have a knockdown Redick type of three ball shooter, that if they find any one of those guys open, that guy will make that three ball. On Christmas Day, they knocked down a gazillion threes. Last night, they made 7 of 33. The truth of who they are is in between those two numbers. But I would agree with you. They do not exploit being bully ball as constructed to the extent that they should versus,
exactly,
versus shooting the three that they really are so at best, in my opinion. 610-632-0975. I'm coming right back to the phones. We'll get right to you guys on the other side. You're listening to 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5
The
Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
Happy Super Sunday to you all. And it is a Super Sunday. You know what? Not just because there's a football game later on. It's because it's, you know, first weekend in February. We're getting closer to the spring, folks. We're also coming off the heels of a 116-95 loss for the Philadelphia 76ers on the road.
Are you kidding me?
No, not kidding. I am so serious. Yep, they lost to the Boston Celtics last night. They still win the season series 3-1, but there are some puzzling parts to this. And I'm asking you, because they really only have, okay, the trade deadline's Thursday. Could you do something in the buyout market? Yes. Is there a Jamal Crawford or a J.R. Smith out there who is not with the team that you could sign in March? Of course, you could. Is that really going to make or break what this team does in the postseason? I say not. I say you must figure it out. The first deadline was, we'll have it figured out by Christmas. Now we're into February, and it is so not figured out yet of who they are as a group. And myself, as a person who has been very critical of what Ben does not do in terms of shooting, I say to people of late, you cannot argue with what he is producing. And again, last night, he's 9 of 14 from the floor. He finishes with 23 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Now, his assists to me are going down because his scoring is going up. Last night, and I'll take that he only made 5, but he took 9 free throw attempts. His assertiveness to get to the line is so important for me. I did not look at his turns as a group. Is this true? All right, he had 4 turns, and they had 7 in that first quarter. Ridiculous. And to me, their turnovers were, it was single digits at halftime, and then you knew what would happen. Brad Stevens gets the troops together and says, you know, come with full steam ahead in the third quarter, and we'll make this a non-game, and that's what they did. And Embiid ended up being 1 of 11 from the floor, 9 of 9 at the line. But to not have your two best players be a cohesive duo to me, therein lies the problem. And I just don't see that cohesiveness. And it's about time that you figure out how to make them cohesive. And that comes from coaching. It comes from both of those individuals, them being Simmons and Embiid, also wanting to go to the drawing board and decide, how do we become the most dominant duo? Because from a talent standpoint, they have the ability to do that. But you need to be wanting to be greater as a group than great as an individual. You have to care more about being great as a group than any personal accolades you will get. And guess what? The personal accolades will come if you are the greatest duo that's playing the game right now. It seems simple to me. Let's go to Bill in Fishtown. Bill, what's happening? How are you? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, getting ready for big game day. I think it's going to be Andy's year. I like to see Andy.
You do? I hope so. I really enjoyed listening to him this week. It was so not who I covered when I covered him here, but he was so much more forthcoming.
Everybody I've ever talked to who covered Andy always said he's a great guy. Outside of the football.
You know what? My best interviews I ever had with Andy were when he came to a Sixers game and he allowed me to interview him during the game. You know, it's like you ask him 2-3 questions sitting courtside, and he was so nice. And he actually didn't give you, you know, that stern time's yours.
Right.
You know, it's on me. I was also not asking those kind of questions. So, but yes, he was a really nice guy.
Outside of his element, they say, you know, he's the greatest guy out there.
Yep. Which is why people like playing for him.
Right. I think that's, you know,
makes
that's
sense.
The side we don't see.
Yep.
But one thing, as I was on hold and I was waiting, I wanted to make a point, but no, I'll make another point. I always wanted to sit down with Brett and ask him what his definition of bully ball is. Because I don't think his definition of bully ball is what it really is.
Well, or his definition of bully ball, what he thought he had, is different than what he actually has. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Like he saw size, he saw players that were dominant paint players, meaning Embiid, Simmons likes to be in the paint. Horford likes to be in the paint. He saw that as a plus. Oh my God, I have. And but what he ends up with is, unless he can do it differently, and he's just not doing it, it's too crowded.
Right, it's way too crowded. It's too crowded with two of them, let alone three. Three company. You know, when you first started the show, you played a clip of Brett last night from his game.
And not equipped to go into the playoffs.
To me, that's a shot across the bow at home Brent. I mean, I think that's what he's trying to say. Like,
do you think I think you are correct. I think they built it together, though. And I think they may have overestimated that you could do it this way. I applauded them for wanting to be different than what Golden State, everybody was trying to copy Golden State. And I don't know that you can copy what they did to get to those five finals, right? Those shooters were just phenomenal. Klay and Steph in particular. But so I applauded the idea of being different, but I don't applaud the execution of, and you needed to be able to map out, how am I going to use these guys knowing what their skill sets are? And that's the part where they're failing to me.
You know, we're closer to not being in the playoffs than we are to where we thought we were going to be. We thought we were going to be a 1 or 2 seed.
Yes.
And there's a shot that we might not make the playoffs.
No, you're going to make the playoffs because they're going to win 50 games. I mean,
I hope.
No,
I mean,
they will. You know, I'm just going to tell you, they probably will finish this year with 5 home losses total.
Right, but have any road losses? I mean, you know, in the playoffs, you've got to have some road losses.
I totally agree with you. So they're 9-17, which is 26 games, which means they have 15 left.
Right.
On the road. Right. Did I do that math right? 41, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
41 games on the road.
Yeah, so they have 15 less. If they go 500, which I get what you're saying, they're not even close to being 500 right now, but let's just give them 500 or 7 and 8. Then they would be 16 and 25 on the road, which is not good, but I gave them only 5 losses at home, so right. That would give them 30. So they're still a 52-win team.
All right. And one good thing I like to I'm an Embiid guy. I like Embiid. But one good thing I saw last night, being a Roman Catholic guy, was Brad Wanamaker.
How about him? Wanamaker. I said to, so my dad was out of town because it was a national game. And I said to him, the three bench guys, I said, you're not going to see it on the stat sheet per se, but the three bench guys hurt them. Williams, yeah. Wanamaker, and Oleye. Am I saying his name right? I forget how you say that, but Ojale? Ojale.
Right.
That's
Wanamaker,
Ojale.
He's carved himself a nice little niche up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And they always seem to have a guy like that, right?
Right.
A non-named
right.
guy that
he just kills you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Marcus Smart always kills the Sixers, in my opinion. It's not necessarily all scoring, but, man, that guy, he just loves to perform against the Sixers. And he's that kind of guy that I don't like, but if he were on my team, I probably would love him. Yep.
You have a good day. Super Bowl Sunday.
Thank you. Yourself. Enjoy your Super Sunday. I appreciate the phone call.
Nope.
Have a great one, Bill. 610-632-0975. Will, I swear, you are up next on the other side. We just get talking about this good stuff, right? Will, Garrett, Q, Phil, Eric, all of you, we're coming up in the 1 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.